All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. We're on chaosradioaustin.org, lrn.fm, antiwar.com/radio. We're live here on LRN Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon out here on the West Coast. And now we're joined on the phone by antiwar.com's managing news editor, Jason Ditz. Welcome to the show, Jason. How's it going?
I'm doing good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. Everybody, please check out what Jason writes at news.antiwar.com. I don't know what I'd do without it. I don't know how y'all are doing without it if you are, but it's the top on your list of reading in the morning if it's up to me. So let's start with this thing from the Secretary of War, Robert Gates here. We have this very strange theme going on in the media right now, Jason. It seems like it's the same thing they always do with WikiLeaks dumps, especially the last three big ones now, the State Department documents and the Iraq and Afghan war logs. They say, this is the worst treason in the history of mankind. Get a rope. And at the same time, this is no big deal at all. There's nothing new here, and what do you care? And, you know, the last thing you ought to do is go to WikiLeaks.org and start clicking on things, because who cares? There's nothing really in here, except that, you know, Iran is bad, but we already knew that. And but here the Secretary of Defense is saying, let's stop freaking out. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, well, that's certainly been their position, but it's really incredible that they're claiming some of this stuff isn't a big deal. I mean, a lot of it taken individually is kind of silly. I mean, for instance, there's a cable out of the embassy in Ottawa expressing concern about the content of Canadian drama on the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
Concern that it's stereotyping Americans as bad people and
Are you serious?
There are too many American villains on Canadian television.
Well, dispatch the CIA and get something done immediately about that. I don't know where anybody could ever get the idea that Americans mean anything but well for them, you know?
Right, and of course, some of the things actually are quite serious, like the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton signing a document saying that was sent around to dozens of U.S. embassies, ordering them to steal credit card information and DNA samples and things like that from top members of the United Nations. I mean, that's a very serious crime. And incredibly enough, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs went on the Today Show yesterday and said, oh, that's not true. That never happened. Even though there's actual physical document with the Secretary of State's signature right on it.
Specifically well, so who was interviewing him, Matt Lauer?
I'm not sure who was interviewing him, but they sure didn't ask
him. They just let him go with that, huh? Who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes? Well, and, you know, I don't know what they think they're accomplishing with that. Maybe they can get away with fooling the American people, but certainly, you know, nobody at the UN takes that seriously. What a ridiculous denial. What's even the point of denying that, other than, you know, I guess for the Today Show audience?
Right, and even then, it's not like the smoking gun evidence of Secretary Clinton's major crime was getting a lot of play in the American press to begin with. So it really seems like the denial didn't serve to accomplish much.
Right. And you know what's funny about that, too, is I think stealing people's credit card numbers is a felony, you know? Things like that.
Well, and not only that, but spying on UN officials is a crime under international law as well, because these UN officials are supposed to have immunity from that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, Phil Giraldi was on the show yesterday saying, it's remarkable how, to what degree that they're using the State Department to do these things when that's what the CIA's for, spying on these people, you know?
Right, and we have the press releases coming out about the size of the U.S. Intelligence budget and how we're spending $80 billion on spying, But we're actually spending quite a bit more than that because the State Department's doing it too.
Right. Who even knows, really, right? Nobody even knows the size of the black budgets or where that money goes. There's a certain portion that Congress passes every year that's just for, we don't want to know what you do with it.
Right. They tried to give us some idea as a whole dollar figure what the overall budget is, but even that, as ridiculously large as it was, seems to be excluding quite a few things. I mean, it doesn't include the military's intelligence budget. It doesn't include the State Department, which now we find out is doing all sorts of spying. It doesn't include God only knows what else.
Yeah, well, Mother Jones and Robert Higgs from the libertarian and the left side of the political spectrum there agree that it's approximately $1 trillion a year if you count the nuclear weapons and everything else, you know, the Energy Department and all the national security state. It's approximately $1 trillion a year, probably higher than that now because that was a couple years ago. And Obama, of course, has done the biggest increases, even percentage-wise, I think, more than Ronald Reagan. He's increased the military budgets, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, certainly it's the largest military budget we've ever had.
Well, you know, it's to protect him so that the Republicans don't call him weak on terrorism, which they never do because he spent so much on the military, right? It worked?
No, it didn't. It didn't work. Ironically enough, they still are constantly calling him weak on it, and they're also calling him weak on the WikiLeaks leaks for not, conducting assassinations and whatnot to silence them.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's our spotlight article today on antiwar.com. Is WikiLeaks reveals more than just government secrets by Glenn Greenwald, and he, you know, kind of goes through and catalogs all the different calls for WikiLeaks to simply be murdered, and various different just calls for everybody to be murdered. Glenn Reynolds talking about let's nuke North Korea and on and on, and how it's always, you know, these chicken hawks. None of them have ever done any fighting usually. National Review writers and so forth, and all they do is just call for death of whoever they don't like, whoever they consider to be an enemy of the U.S. state, as though the Bill of Rights never existed, as though Amendment 5 doesn't forbid the national government from depriving people of their rights without the process of law, you know, and to just go and just kill anybody. Mike Huckabee said that that Bradley Manning should be executed. Sarah Palin turns around and says they ought to be hunting Julian Assange like he's Al-Qaeda. They ought to send, Pat Tillman's replacements and whoever over there, special forces guys, to hunt down and kill people who are journalists. And as Greenwald points out, it's not just the media. It's the American people. Love it. You know, it's all part of us versus them, like it's a Cowboys game, you know?
Right, and they seem to be playing it up for political effect, and it seems to be working. But one of the more interesting ones to come out recently was yesterday in the Jerusalem Post. John Bolton came up with the idea that he's going to run for president, or is at least considering it in 2012. And his whole rationale is that we're not starting enough wars, and he wants to make sure that we go to war with Iran and make sure that we go to war with North Korea and everyone, so he's going to run for president just to make that happen.
Boy, that next Republican primary season is going to be a hell of a thing, I'll tell you. Bolton and Palin, and cross your fingers and hope Ron Paul's in there arguing with those guys. That's going to be something else, man. I don't know. All right, hang tight. We got a lot more news to cover here. It's Jason Ditz, news editor at antiwar.com. news.antiwar.com. Now, Jason, if I got this right, best I can tell, the biggest story to come out of these WikiLeaks is, as the Washington Times put it, North Korea sends nukes to Iran. And then later on in the day, they finally changed it to, we meant missile parts. And that's, of course, based on David Sanger's reporting in the New York Times. And this was really, first of all, am I right that this was basically the biggest story in the mass media to be trumpeted out of these WikiLeaks, other than, you know, Bradley Manning is gay and Julian Assange, you know, apparently touched somebody who let him or whatever the problem was there?
It was right up there. Saudi King calls for attacks on Iran was all also right up near the top.
Oh, right. The the Saudi King. Mm-hmm. And then what happened to this story about the... Well, hell, you already know. We had Garrett Porter on the show to talk about it yesterday. David Sanger. Tell us about David Sanger's reporting on these mysterious and apparently terribly deadly North Korean missiles that the Iranians now have.
Well, it was the usual hysterical, oh no, Iran's got missiles story. But it seems pretty clear from the cables that the report was very much self-serving for the U.S. diplomats because, of course, the U.S. has been putting missile defense systems all around Russia's perimeter in Eastern Europe, and Russia's been saying, wait a minute, Iran's best missiles can't reach this anyway. Why are you saying this is about Iran? And so these new missiles, which we're not even sure actually existed in the first place, let alone that Iran ever got them, were sort of the excuse that, oh, these missiles could hit anywhere in Europe.
Yeah, and then, so, what was interesting about it, really, and a lot of people jumped on this. Of course, Gareth jumped on it for IPS and antiwar.com. Walter Pincus had a piece in the Post. Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting had a big piece on it. And basically, what everybody did who wanted to go and actually take a look at this, which... Anytime David Sanger writes something, it's only a clue as to where to begin researching to find out what a lie he's telling. And they write right in the article, well, you know, the White House asked us to not reprint this document. Okay, so all people did was just say, okay, well, you quote out of it. They went and Googled the quote, found the document, and there's the rest of the document that has the Russians saying to the Americans, what the hell are you talking about? What missiles? They never even tested them. What shipment? What boat? What happened? And, you know, as we talked about this with Gareth yesterday, he said that the American diplomat doesn't even say, look, trust us, we know, or anything like that. There's like, well... Whatever, that's our talking point, and we're sticking with it, basically, is how they argue with the Russians.
And that's the thing with these missiles. And of course, we saw a lot of pictures of the missiles emerging on a lot of the more pro-war sites. And the pictures of the missiles were pictures of old Soviet missiles upon which the supposed North Korean missiles are supposedly based.
Well, whatever. If I saw a picture, that's good enough for me to know it's
right.
real.
But the thing is...
I don't read captions, man. That's too difficult.
The thing is, North Korea has been supposed to have developed this missile for a while now, but they never tested it. They never have, you know, used it in any demonstrations. There's no real evidence beyond a few allegations that they even have these missiles. And then the report that they sent... kits, including some of the parts that might be used in these theoretical missiles to Iran, was taken as proof that Iran has these same, maybe they exist, maybe they don't, missiles.
Yeah, I mean, and Gareth was saying yesterday, there's a dispute as to whether, you know, supposedly these are intercontinental ballistic missiles, but then again, he's saying that some of the research that he did would lead him to believe that they're single-stage rockets. Not the kind of three-stage rockets that can, you know, go up into space and drop a warhead on top of an American city or something. Not that Iran has any nukes in the first place, but...
Right. It seems to be a story that's been created very much for convenience sake, but it's lacking in a lot of specifics, and we really don't know what these missiles are capable of, if they even exist, and even then... We don't know what Iran got.
You know, I wish I had a lot bigger, more powerful radio show with millions and millions of listeners, and then we could just start a trend where we could just say a lie. We could just call that a Sanger. Like, oh, man, that guy Sangered to me. I can't believe the dishonesty. That's like, you know, like, oh, man, I can't believe we're months and all the way out here in the middle of nowhere, you know. Ah, David Sanger, it's the most dishonest thing that ever existed. But, you know, he wants a war really badly. He's trying to get millions of Iranians killed and, Lord knows, at least tens of thousands of Americans in any war with that country. That's what he wants, and so he's willing to say anything that he can to try to make that happen. Nobody knows who he really works for, maybe just himself. Now, all right, so we still got a couple minutes here. Here's another important WikiLeak. This one's written up at Raw Story. Abu Ghraib photos inspired hundreds of Saudis to jihad. The Bush administration's torture program was a beacon for Islamic extremists seeking to recruit fellow fighters in the war against America and its allies, a leaked diplomatic cable has shown. Well, we all knew that all along, but I think still it's important, you know, to try to contrast the prevailing, you know, wisdom about these things. On one hand, everybody knows if you occupy a country and torture a bunch of people, you're going to create enemies, right? On the other hand, the narrative is, hey, we have to torture people in order to save Americans' lives. And yet, the truth is, recruiting thousands of new radicals to be suicide bombers doesn't save American lives. It's the most counterproductive policy, maybe even more counterproductive than invading the country of Iraq, is doing sweeps of fighting-age males off the streets and locking them in torture prison for years. It's the worst thing that you could do to American policy. How could this be? I mean, that people still can't get this argument through their head, man. How come everybody knows it, and yet we still haven't won the fight on it, you know?
Right, and there's another cable detailing a 2006 delegation that the Bush administration sent to the European Union, pressing them to be more supportive of renditions and detainee abuse and things like that, to make it very public that they support whatever the U.S. is doing in those regards. And they make all sorts of arguments about how the terror suspects don't really have any rights under the Geneva Conventions. They're kind of the old arguments. But one of the interesting things that they include in there is that they claim there's no prohibition against torturing them. And they say that the only reason that America doesn't torture them, which, of course, we know isn't true, is that there's a customary presidential practice not to torture people. It's just a custom.
Yeah, there's no War Crimes Act that was signed by, well, passed by a Republican Congress, or the Anti-Torture Convention signed by Ronald Reagan, or, well, other Scott Horton's coming up later on the show. He did, I think the last time I interviewed him, he went through the history of the Republican Party and anti-torture laws. And it's the Republican Party that wrote them all, that passed them all, that did them all. It's their legacy that they're betraying here. All the way back to Abraham Lincoln, you know, we can kill them all, but we don't tie them up and then beat them up. But anyway, yeah, and you know, Barack Obama on his first day in power, Jason, remember, basically ratified that same belief, that it's just been a traditional presidential custom and decision to be made whether to torture people or not, rather than, you know, his obligation under the Constitution to faithfully execute the law, when he said that I have banned torture. And what he meant was not, I now am officially changing the policy of the executive branch to recognize the fact that torture is already a crime in America. He was saying, I have changed my policy preference. And then we all know that that's not true. We all know that people are still being tortured, at least within the guidelines of the Army Field Manual Appendix M at the secret prison at Bagram and God knows where else. So not only did he ratify the idea yes, this is just up to presidents, when he claimed that he had banned it, he lied when he claimed that he'd banned it. How you like that? Put that in your WikiLeaks. That's what I say. All right. Thanks for your time. I'm sorry I just ran it at you and said asking you questions all the time, Jason, but some other time, man. We'll catch up.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Everybody, that's Jason Ditz, news.antiwar.com. There's so much there. I didn't even get to ask him about McTaddle Sauter. We'll be back.